the whole magic garden is for me a way to integrate all my experiences. It is very important, you know, when you have these powerful experiences and that you're traveling deep in consciousness, you're going to have experience traveling far out in space and deep in space. It's really important that you implement them and integrate them into your daily life, because we want to get high. You know, we want our everyday to be too ecstatic and creative and blissful and joyful as possible. That is what we're aiming for.
This is the Way Podcast.
The militias needed to have a heads up that I was coming.
I personally think they didn't, you know, like in chess.
So that's how deep the addiction goes.
I've been incarcerated most of my life.
Having a conversation with
Bill. They've been given no option, either join or die.
Snipers, and it was a military.
J. Cole came and hung out most of the choir session. I'm standing at the studio blast looking out into the studio.
If you want to know more about The Way Podcast, go to podcasttheway.com.
This is FM 91.7, WHUS Doors at the top of the hour. I'm your host, Billy Trofesky, and like the introduction said, be sure to go to podcasttheway.com. Now today, we're taking a trip down psychedelics. So I'm with Jacob, who is owner of the Magic Garden over in Denmark. And yeah, how are you doing today, Jacob?
I'm doing absolutely great. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming out to the show. First off, what's a little bit about your background? So you have the Magic Garden over in Denmark. We'll talk about how you started that up and organized it. But what even made you want to get into this realm?
It was, the short story is that when I was young, when I was a teenager, I was a seeker. I was really longing for getting to know the universe, getting to know who am I, what is the meaning of life and everything. And my father, he was an atheist. So I was not brought up in any spiritual traditions. But as a seeker, you know, with this question in mind, who am I? I was, when my students, fellow students was going, you know, to parties, I was sitting down on the beach meditating and going to the forest. So I was really seeking inwards. And then in high school, there was a friend who gave me Stanislav Grof's books. He said, you should read this book, Jacob. And it was Realm of the Unconscious, which was about Stanislav Grof's explorations, mapping the cartography of the psyche through LSD psychotherapy. And that book was just totally mind-blowing. It was just like, I just knew that this was something that I had to explore. And in the summer 1984, I started my journey, and I had a very powerful shamanic initiatory crisis. And that initiatory crisis was like a big hand, you know, telling me that I should walk this path. I knew that either I would suffer for psychological breakdown or psychological breakthrough. It was a very, very powerful experience where I was, you know, seeing that my innermost being was one with the universal mind. And it was so powerful that it triggered a lot of very deep wounds and perinatal traumas from my birth, transpersonal levels, and my consciousness was just overflowing with psychic material.
Was it a breakdown or a breakthrough in the end?
You know, some people would call it a bad trip because I was taking a high dosage LSD in not supervised circumstances. It reminds most of all what in literature is called a shamanic initiatory crisis. Everything what you knew about the world was just dissolving. You know, the colors were coming black and white. All what before gave meaning was not giving meaning. And if I didn't took up the call to adventure, and if I didn't manage to take this journey, then it would be a breakdown. But yeah. I had the courage, you know, to take the journey. So that was the start to a breakthrough. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I think
one of my friends back, he he was taking shrooms, and another friend of him said to always have an anchor. Don't let yourself go down the rabbit hole. And he sort of didn't have a strong anchor, and he went down the rabbit hole, and he was just in a dark place because he wasn't able to go along with what the shrooms wanted him to do.
Yes. So there is, and I think, you know, these psychedelics, they are like a tools, and you can use them and you can misuse them. If you use them in the proper way, they have enormous potentials, you know, really to for healing, transformation. But if they are not used in a proper way, they can also, you know, make a lot of damage.
Do you know who Duncan Trussell is at all?
No.
He's a podcaster who actually now has a show on Netflix. I was listening to him. He sat down, he talked with this guy. I had his name somewhere, but I can't find it. But he said the same thing. Like, he's dedicated his whole life to Buddhism, traveling the world, country, every philosophy. Buddhism just came to my head first, but all of this stuff. And he said the same thing as you, where these are just a tool. If you meditate or if you use acid right, they can be an amazing tool, but you can't just use it and expect the result from it. You have to use it properly.
Exactly. It is like a knife. Give a knife to one who is cooking and they can make amazing food. And give a knife, you know, to a murderer and he can do awful things. And I think this is really important to understand about these tools. You have to use them in a proper way, and you have to learn the skills how to ride them, so to speak. And what happened to me when I was 17 years old was that I have been reading about these states. I've been reading that when you take the inner journey, then you can enter some states during this journey, which is really awful. I was ending up in a state where there was no exit. You know, God was insane. Everything was meaningless. And if I didn't have been reading about these state of consciousness and knew that they were part of your journey, then I would have been suffering badly.
Then earlier on, you said your father was an atheist. Did he have a very nihilistic approach? And then you took these drugs to figure out, like, who am I? What's the meaning of life? Like, and did you find your own route away from that route?
You know, my father, he was a really loving person. He gave me everything, but he was not initiating me into the spiritual dimension of life. So he was not doing something bad. He was just, he didn't know what to do with me. For example, when I had this shamanic initial crisis, he did not take me to the hospital. And that was a very brave thing from him to do. And when I found a seminar, a course in therapy, psychotherapy, and then he paid for it because he knew this was important for me to do that. So even he was an atheist, he was still supporting me. And thank you for that. So after that, I started to study meditation, yoga, psychotherapy very systematically. I actually made my own curriculum. I went out of high school. I was very disciplined. And then after 3 years, I came in contact with the leading pioneer in Denmark in psychedelic therapy. I was trained by Stanislav Grof. And from there on, I was 20 years old. Then I started a very systematical inner journey, writing all my dreams down, took journeys with blindfolds, music, and headset, and always had a clean sitter. I did it really after the best prescriptions you can take in a journeys. And then I had a 16 years long, deep, systematic journey where I learned all the practices, conducted a lot of sessions, and on the culmination on that journey, I got the vision for the Magic Garden.
What's the vision for the Magic Garden?
The Magic Garden is a multidimensional artistic concept. It is both a physical place located in Denmark, where we, through building constructions, sculptures, artwork, subterranean meditation chambers, tower bridges up in the trees, stage up in the trees, around all at this rebirth tunnel, and a lot of sculptures are making a artistic expression of the full cartography of the psyche. It is constructed as a microcosm. including or we're striving at including humanity's total pool of experience of various spiritual, philosophical, and mythological dimensions.
Gotcha. So if somebody went to the garden, what kind of what could they expect? Like, what in particular would be the beginning approach?
Our core service is that we are conducting, we are a modern living Eleusis. We are a place, a cosmic space station, so to speak, a place where the various levels of reality are meeting each other. It's a modern temple in that way that all this art, all this, the way it is constructed with music and everything, it is like a portal which gives access to a non-ordinary state of consciousness. Yeah. And it is the Magic Garden's main purpose. We have ceremonies where people are coming here. We play live music for 6 hours and help them undergo powerful journeys in consciousness. We use sacred tea, plant medicine as a helping tools. And then we make a global meditations during a live stream full moon concerts and live stream ceremonies. So everything here is about giving access to the source. We are very systematically in that way that if people want to take powerful journeys, we prepare them with a lot of preparation. You know, we just not send people on powerful journeys. We prepare them the best way we can. A journey for us in consciousness is preparation, the journey itself, and integration. So we have an ongoing cyclic thing, so to speak, with integration through human conduct, the journeys and global meditations. And then we have integration evenings where those seekers and psychonauts coming here, where we learn them how to, you know, interpret what they experience, because the subconscious is speaking to you through metaphors. So what does it mean? You know, and it can be a lot of experiences, how to improve your life strategy, how to get visions for your life, how to heal traumas and the like. Make sense?
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of how if you have a dream about drowning, it means you have an inner fear about like public speaking or even something like that, right?
You know, that can mean a lot of things. And, you know, every one of us has our own individual inner mythological landscape, so to speak. So if you're dreaming about a car, for example, the car can mean one thing to you and another thing to me. And also if you are drowning, it can mean different things to who dream it.
Gotcha.
So what we do here is that we believe in the inner healer. We believe that we all have a totally healthy, strong core. And we are, as a kind of midwives, supporting you to give birth to your own child. So we have basic rules here. You know, we don't interpret, we don't give advices. We do our best to support you give birth to yourself.
Okay, I got it. What I like about it, I remember I was talking back prior episode all about addiction, and in America, we have this opioid epidemic, and even a lot of the whole world have alcoholism. And the idea was that a lot of people go to these addictions to sort of cover up whatever issue they're dealing with. It's sort of like a crutch to get them through their life. So you could say what you're doing is a way of getting to the root of the problem. So people might not even need to take these other opioids or alcohol or whatever way they cope with whatever their issue is.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, this is very interesting, because there was a big dialogue between C.G. Jung, Carl Jung, you know him, the father of the depth psychology. And what Jung said was that in his opinion was, as far as he saw it, was the only cure to people who had hardcore addiction, that was that they should have a mystical experience, because that was what they were longing for. And they have been conducting actually quite a lot of research where people have got LSD psychotherapy, for example. And hardcore addicts, when they just have one true mystical experience, they could see that this was what they were longing for. That was what all their drinking or other narcotic was for. That was to get into this mystical experience, the cosmic unity of oneness with the whole, that has an enormous healing potentials. So the direct experience with cosmos or the universal mind or whatever we call it has enormous healing potentials. And you can also see when people have these experiences, they spontaneously make a more proper life strategy, you know, and start to eat organic, for example, you know, and thinking about how they treat nature and each other. So having the direct experience is, as far as I can see, that is the key.
I'm going to have to play devil's advocate in a minute, but first off, I saw research that showed in a study in November 2020, 71% of people who took psilocybin for major depression disorder showed a greater than 50% reduction in symptoms after 4 weeks, and half of participants entered remission. So not even for like drugs or alcohol, even people with like PTSD or depression or anxiety, the studies show that taking psychosubstances can like cure or long-term improve upon that. Have you seen any of that yourself?
I have seen a lot of miracles happen from people taking these journeys. You know, people have come out of stopped smoking, get free of negative patterns and improve their life in a lot of ways. But I have also seen that the best result is coming when people take their journey seriously and do their homework. And what I mean by that is that many people, you know, they think that I just take the journey and then that's it. But, you know, those people who really get the most output is when they go home, you know, and write down the experience and integrate them into their life, you know, and act on those messages coming from within. So there's no just miracle wonder substance. You have to, it's a tool, and you have to do your homework. But if you do it, then it has enormous healing potentials.
Gotcha. What would you say to the 9-to-5 businessman, a lot of people who are anti-drugs, anti even like weed, very in the mindset you just like do your job and you just deal with something and aren't really too spiritual in a sense?
You know, I think there's only one rule to life, and that is, you know, Joseph Campbell, he says that follow your bliss and doors will open where there are no doors. And a guy called who's channeling a extrasensory being called Bashar saying, follow your excitement, take it as far as you can till you can't get no further without any insistence, expectations, or assumptions of the outcome. So if you are a working man and you're working from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 and you're excited about it, then I guess it's the right thing for you to do. You know, every day is a gift. And every day you should wake up and see, wow, it's a new day, big smile, I'm alive. And if you are an atheist or you're a Buddhist or you are Christian or you are agnostic or agnostic, I think that is, you know, that's individual, what feels right for you. We have a mandala in our place, and there is the symbol for all the 6 world religions. They are the symbols for shamanism, and they are also the symbol for atheism and agnosticism. So no matter what we believe or not believe, we are brothers and sisters sharing the same planet. And, you know, we are on different path, every one of us. So I don't judge any people. If you feel good being an atheist, then fine with me.
Do you know solipsism at all?
No.
It's a philosophy. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but it sort of had that same approach of focus on what you can control, focus on the day, just enjoy the moment kind of thing. So you remind me of that a little bit.
Okay. But I think it's when people have powerful journeys in consciousness, then you can have all kind of experiences. And I think it's very important that you go with those experiences, whatever it is. Trust the inner healer. There are examples of priests, for example, they have really been into Christianity and they haven't not believing in Buddhism or anything. And then they have one powerful LSD session, for example, and they suddenly have a deep insight into Buddhism. And then they suddenly understand Buddhism. So we all have our individual way. And I think it's really important that we give space to whatever is our path.
I don't want people to see it as an excuse to take away anything you said, but just curious, what religion or philosophy are you from, like, your experiences? What did it lead you to end up being?
But I'm multi-religious. You know, I have something in all religious traditions, specifically from the esoteric, you know, the innermost part of the various spiritual traditions. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, not the, you know, because I'm not going to church every Sunday, for example, because I think that going to ordinary church is actually a defense against true spirituality. But I have had very powerful experiences myself with Jesus, with God. I have powerful experiences in the Christian tradition.
And was this through, would you say, prayer, or was this through DMT or like LSD or something like that?
Especially in this 16 period, which I talked about, where I did a lot of the LSD sessions and psilocybin mushroom sessions, powerful sessions.
Gotcha.
And I can come with an example for so you better can understand what I'm saying, talking about. The, you know, we in Christianity they say that Jesus was a virgin birth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I'm translating this from Danish to English. So it was a virgin birth, and he had no father. And during this powerful experience I had, I realized that what they were meaning with it was that, you know, we are born physically, but we are not born psychologically. So what it was a mythological image saying that he was going through a big transformation process and gave birth to himself. And then suddenly you're just like, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about this powerful death, rebirth, psychological transformation process. And in that way, you know, I have found a lot of deep insights in actually almost all traditions. I mean, I love Tibetan Buddhism. I love Taoism. And I think the amazing thing in Taoism, amazing thing in Buddhism, and amazing thing for the Indians and shamanic traditions. So I am to all traditions as long as they're going to the core.
I gotta ask too, because mm-hmm. in my free time, there's a few things I like to research. I like to look into like UFOs. I like to look mm-hmm. into science sometimes, but like DMT is one of those big things I like to like look into and read, because mm-hmm. as you know, DMT is like, it's found in grass, it's found in every animal's pineal gland, it's found
2,000 plants,
like everything. So the fact that it's in our brains right now and people mm-hmm. see it with like a near-death experience, I don't have an explicit theory, but do you think that plays any role with, say, post-death or anything like that?
I think there are so many things that we can't explain, and there are some who say that DMT is the spirit molecule, and perhaps they're right. It is a very special substance. But I'd like to give a comment on what you were saying about the UFOs and space people, if I can add that.
Go ahead.
Because when I had the, you know, when you're taking these journeys, and you have these experiences of being on the other side, being on the Bardo level, traveling to other realms, then you can ask yourself, are they real? When you have meeting with spirit guides and they say something to you, was it your fantasy or was it a real experience?
Yeah.
And when I had the vision for this place back in 1995, I had a very powerful experience. I was being catapulted out in a spacecraft, flying in and out of black and white holes. And I was contacted by a spirit guide who said that his name was Guan Kusuk, that he was master in the Galactic Council. And, you know, in that state of mind, I'm just like, wow, it was just like, it felt so natural. And when I came down from the experience, he transmitted very detailed drawings and information on how to build this place, in down to the small details, you know, how the building construction should be, where the plants should be planted, and where all the tarot cards they should be. And it was extremely powerful. And when I came down, it was just like, okay, I had to test this. Is this right? Was it not right? And now it is 26 years after that experience. And I have been guided by those beings the whole way. And now I'm sitting in the middle of what they told me. So today, that experience for 26 years ago just feels very real. And I think it's important when you have these experiences that you somehow keep grounding. Keep your feet on the ground and not just flying high, but also test, is it working? Is it improving your strategy? Is it real? See what I mean?
Yeah. And I find it funny too, because like Steve Jobs, I heard he took acid, and that's the whole idea of how he even started Apple. So you kind exactly. of had you had your own Steve Jobs in a sense to then build.
Yeah, because it also demand courage, you know, to believe in those experiences. And this is what I found is that Joseph Campbell wrote an amazing book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces, where he found out that there's this monomyth, that every mythology, every religion, tradition is built upon this monomyth. And it says that we are all heroes on our own quest. You are a hero in your life. You got some call to adventures. You got some vision, something to do. You get drawn to something. You have excitement to do. But it is your choice whether you act on it or whether you not act on it. But when you really have this call to adventure, you know what your excitement is. You have a clear vision, and when you dare to act on it, then the universe is supporting you. And I think for me, you know, manifesting this place, which is, can I go around?
Yeah, sure.
I can go around.
Yeah, still coming through.
This is our studio in the background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at the skull. What's that about?
this is our death rebirth tunnel. So it's a manifestation of the death rebirth archetype. So, you know, we make powerful read the passage here, you know, where people are undergoing some rituals and then they take the tour through the tunnel.
Wow.
And you can see all those trees.
Oh, there's what you're talking about before. Yeah, the walking through the trees.
Yeah. You know, I have made footbridges up in the trees.
I'm glad it's still coming through clear. I can see no connection issues.
That's amazing. So I have footbridges up in the trees.
What's the idea behind the footbridges in the trees again?
Can you see there's a little lake down there? There's not so much water in it because it is very dry, but there's a lake in the middle.
Yeah, I can see
it. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the idea is that here in this part of the garden, we have manifested the medicine wheel. So that is the center in the middle of the garden. And then you can walk on the footbridges, the full circle, and then the various steps on the hero's journey are manifested on this journey, round in the circle. So it's a symbolic expression of the mythological landscape meant to guide seekers and psychonauts on the journey. There's not a light, but there's a subterranean meditation chamber. I can show it, but you cannot see it. But then I can go up. So we have many levels. So this is an 11-meter high tower. I built it. So I have full panoramic view.
Wow. You have your own awesome playground in your backyard.
I have. And this is when people are coming here, you know, they're entering a kind of magic landscape And all these building constructions and symbols help you to induce these non-ordinary states of consciousness.
So if somebody is coming in and they're dealing with their depression, or somebody else has their anxiety, or some other person has their PTSD or whatever, they sort of go through the same route, but they come out, they go through the same journey, or they go through their own journey through those same obstacles.
What we do is that we're using the method that Stanislav Grof is describing. He calls it the technologies of the sacred, where you, through various techniques, but especially also sound technology, we have developed our own shamanic modern sound technology, where we are playing like for 6 hours, and then people are undergoing deep psychological transformation in that way, that their inner healer is activated, and the inner healer is bringing up the material that you need to transform, that you need to look on. And that can be experiences from your childhood, that can be experiences from abuse, that can be experiences from reincarnations, that can be experience from birth, whatever. And this material will be released, and that brings a healing process and transformation process in those coming here.
Gotcha. It's very healing, it's very psychotherapy and bettering yourself. Are you against people, or are you for people often about who just want to take LSD for recreation in their own hometown or whatnot? Because it's a tool, but what if it's used just for whatever reason?
Again, I don't want to judge any people. You know, if people are having a good experience with using it in a recreation way, for example, at home enjoying their garden or in the forest or listening to music, then I think people can have good experiences for that. But if they really want to have the full benefit of using those tools, then it should be in supervised sessions, especially when you're going up in higher dosages. You should have a sober and clean sitter by your side, else the risk is too big. And the best way to use it is absolutely in a therapeutic or ceremonial settings with experienced sitters, shamans, guides, facilitators by you, who can help you and guide you through those experiences, which can be challenging. And that is part of the journey. There are steps on the inner journey where you need support, where you need a guide, where you need a hand, where you need someone who can take care of you. Else you cannot totally let go and really release these energies.
Would it be enough, or is it beneficial if somebody does a microdose?
Actually, yeah. We had David Eertsø, who is working at in England with it. They made a study on microdosing, and the study was surprising, but it has a very clear message that it was more the placebo effect that it was working, that it was taking the substance.
I heard about that too. Even the placebo, just them thinking they took it, was enough to make them feel better, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I listened to 2 years ago is the Science Versus podcast all about that. Can you use that? Like, can you trick it?
I have never felt attracted to microdosing. I have been feeling much more attracted, you know, to taking a journey and then take powerful journeys, and then really make an effort, you know, of writing down my experiences and integrate them into my life. I mean, the whole magic garden is for me a way to integrate all my experiences. It is very important, you know, when you have these powerful experiences and that you're traveling deep in consciousness, you're going to have experience traveling far out in space and deep in space. It's really important that you implement them and integrate them into your daily life, because we want to get high on a glass of water. We want our, you know, we want our everyday to be too ecstatic and creative and blissful and joyful as possible. That is what we're aiming for.
Gotcha. Do you have, through your mentor and through people who taught you, or have you traveled anywhere to pick up from, like, have you traveled across the world, or have you traveled different places to learn what you've been taught?
Yeah, I have been. I have been in the rainforest on a seminar with James McKenna and Jonathan Ott. I also been on several workshops on holotropic breath work with Stanislav Grof, and I have taken a lot of seminars in Denmark. Actually, Denmark, they have had some really good pioneers in psychotherapy and also psychedelic therapy. And also, I have met some of the pioneers in astrology and tarot. I haven't been traveling so much around the world. I have more felt like, you know, finding the right sitters, finding the right teachers, and then really taking the journey inwards.
Gotcha. Right now, the modern medicine is pills. Like, I keep using these examples, but you have depression, they give you a pill for it. You have anxiety, they give you a pill for it. Sleep insomnia, they give you a pill for it. Could you see maybe like microdosing, maybe full-on dosing, maybe going on to places? Could you see psychosubstances as replacing these pills? So first I want to say, too, I saw a quote where pills are numbing the pain a person has with whatever problem they're facing. But LSD or acid or whatever could be a way to get rid of the pain they're dealing with.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we are entering what we can call a psychedelic renaissance. I really believe that we can see that in studies. We can see it that MAPS, for example, they have a lot of studies where they are treating people with PTSD traumas. You know, people who have been they hadn't had a life for many, many years. They go through a protocol with 3 sessions. And they have experienced enormous healing potentials during these sessions. So I think that
it could like one day replace pills.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, my good friend and teacher Jan Lumbi, he wrote a book called Use and Misuse. We are all on drugs. I mean, every people are taking some drugs on a daily basis, whether that be sugar, caffeine, alcohol, or you name it. And he said that in his opinion, then the biggest drug dealer was the medicinal industry. Because there's so many people. I mean, in Denmark, we have, I think it is 700,000 people taking Prozac on a daily basis. I mean, it's a huge business.
Yeah.
it's insane business, and they are not interested, you know, in people having a protocol of taking three sessions with psychedelic substance and then get healed because they are not earning any money on it.
Yeah, there's more profit in having somebody come back and then refilling their supply.
Exactly, and I think it's really, really important that every people should have, you know, the key back and decide themselves what they want to take into their own body and not to take into their own body.
Now, I've been putting it off, but now's a good part to bring it up. But what about the people who take a drug and they have a bad trip and it's a bad experience, it's horrible, and they're terrified of it again, or even that experience in the moment?
You know, that's what I'm saying, is that it is really important to take these powerful substances in safe settings. Set and setting is everything. I mean, it can be really dangerous to take powerful substances, especially LSD, without a good sitter. I mean, when I was young, 17, 18, there were some of my friends, they took it, and it turned out pretty bad, actually. So you should be aware that this is not toys. It is really powerful tool which you should use with deep respect and deep knowledge, and really go to some qualified psychotherapists, guides, shamans, whatever, who know what they are talking about. and they have tried it themselves, and they really can guide you.
So be as educated, be as in the best setting you can possibly, and that will reduce the risk, but even then you could still have a bad trip.
If you are in the right setting, so to speak, then can experiences where you are in the underworld experience really dark things, horrific things, they can actually be really, really, really healing. It can be some of the most transformative experience you could have on your journey. So it's not about, it's not so much about bad trips. It is more about, you know, bad settings.
A real bad trip, in a way, you could still take away something good from it. You can still learn from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I also could see, like, if I was like in the Magic Garden and then I turned around and I saw that giant skull, I could see that making me, wait, hold on. Life is limited. Something like that starting up.
Exactly. It is, you know, the basic structure, and I'm crawling down again, the basic structure here in the Magic Garden is built upon the 22 tarot cards. They are the fundamental building blocks in the universe, so to speak, showing the journey from the child to the fully enlightened being. And on that journey, you learn, you know, to become friends with death. You know, you learn to become friends with your mother and your father and with the wise man. So it's important to know all the archetypes. I can show you here. I have a big mushroom. Oh, you can see it.
Yeah, I see him.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
And over here, I have a big jaguar.
Oh, okay.
The teeth, you know, and then beside jaguar head, here we have the tarot card, the devil.
Oh, why do you have that? So
that is, you know, that is the entrance to, that is because the devil is the carrier of those energies we are repressing. You know, the devil can be various from culture to culture. For example, in Christianity, sexuality was repressed and being seen as something evil. But if you're going to Eastern traditions, then sexuality is being seen as some very spiritual things. And so the devil is carrier of those things we are repressing. And if you, for example, want to get free of your hatred, you want to get free of your bitterness, you want to get free of those negative feelings, then you have to confront them. That's why the devil is beside the jaguar head. Because if you really want to come free of those negative energies, then you have to confront them. And that then you have to crawl through the jaguar head and come down in the subterranean meditation chamber. Can I show you that? But you can see that out here in the garden, I have the water. And then here I have the star.
Okay.
See?
Yeah.
And the Shiva statue up here.
Yeah.
So the whole place is, I could continue, but you can see pictures of it. It is filled with symbolism. Yeah, the whole Magic Garden.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it is, you know, everything has, I mean, it is to guide you. I can show you just one more thing. It's amazing with the connection that I can move so freely.
That's what's going through my head. Not one issue.
Yeah. Okay, so you can see this is the entrance. This is the entrance for our sacred sanctuary.
Okay.
So now I am in the room. So right. This is the entrance, and just to give you just one thing, and then you can see that all the doors.
Yeah,
they are in various levels down into our round hole. This is going straight. This is going up, and all those things, they have a meaning, because all the rooms. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All the rooms are in various levels, and that is to invite you out of flatland into where there are depths and highs.
Wait, out of flatland into depths and what does that mean?
That means, you know, flatland is Ken Wilber's concept. That means that the only thing that we normally count for real, that is what can be measured. And that is what he called flatland.
Okay.
You know, you can measure your dreams. You can't measure if you have an out-of-body experience. You can't measure what you experience during an inner journey, but you have to interpret it. And because you can't measure it, that doesn't make it more or less real. So if you come out of flatland, you come into, you know, so you have direct experiences with your dreams, direct experiences with the other world, direct experiences with spirit worlds, then you will experience, then it can open up for an enormous expanded experience of yourself, where you are not an isolated unity, but where you really are connected to the whole cosmos.
Yeah.
Makes sense? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, you got it. I've heard the term, like, yeah, energy and like being connected with everything. So it makes me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
What were the levels again?
Various levels of reality. The connection is so what we're doing here is that we open the portal to these other worlds, and these other worlds, they are real. And when you learn to interact with them, then you can I mean, you can improve your life to the wildest imagination. And this is so well tested. Rick Tarnas has written an amazing book called Cosmos and Psyche, where he proved how much that our life and the evolution of mankind and how the evolution of our consciousness, how connected it is with the planet. It sounds totally far out, but he proves it in an amazing, sophisticated, detailed and really empiric way. So you are not isolated. We are connected with cosmos.
And he proves in the, I'm sure it's a very detailed, and like, it's such a hard thing to shrink down, but can you give a small summary of how he does?
Yeah, I can do that. He says that each of the planets, we're talking astrology here, I know it is far out, but it is so amazing that, I mean, it's groundbreaking. He says that every planet is connected to an archetype. And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
The Pluto is connected to the underworld, the death and rebirth transformation process. It is about deep transformation, death of the old, and giving birth to the new things, but also about sexuality, but a death rebirth principle. Uranus is the principle of breakthrough, revolution, freedom, new ideas. Okay?
Okay.
And he found out that when those two planets are in aspect, when they are just like the full moon, where they are in conjunction, it was said that they are on the same place in when you see it from the Earth, or like a new moon opposition. No, sorry, opposite. Full moon is an opposition. New moon is a conjunction. So when they are in line, it is totally consistent with powerful periods in humanity's evolution. For example, this combination was there in the 60s, which was the most powerful period in the last century. The same combination was there in also during the French Revolution, which was an extremely powerful period through where, you know, where there was transformation and new insights on all levels, from scientific, freedom, politically, artistic, and so on. If you take that idea really and take it as far as you can, then you get the fact that your psyche, Bill, your psyche is connected to the whole cosmos. Your psyche is every moment playing with cosmos. And that is just a totally new point of view. Because that means that we are not isolated. We are connected to the total cosmic drama that we all are playing a part of. Make sense?
I think so. It's a lot, but I think I do understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not reinventing the wheel when I say this, but if everybody's connected and stuff, it does suck that there's like the poverty going on and there's like wars and stuff like that.
I mean, the world is totally complex, and there are a lot of things to be transformed, and there's a lot of pain. And what is the reason of war? I mean, that can be a long discussion. We should not take that then, because then we're talking for hours. I'm not saying that you know. The cosmic game is complex, and the cosmic game has both, you know, the angry gods, so to speak, and the blissful gods. But he can see, for example, he can see that there are specific planetary aspects. For example, when the World War has started, I mean, so the archetypes are also playing a game, you know, in these hardcore things. But what he's saying is that these archetypal complexes, they have a shadow side and they have a sun side, but they are all the time striving through what wholeness.
Okay, I want to bring it back a bit, because when you show me the star sign or card, you remember showing me that?
Yeah,
like 3 years ago or something, I actually saw a psychic and she was putting out these cards, and one of the cards looked exactly like the one you showed me. So do you factor in psychics with your viewpoint or beliefs, or do they factor in at all?
You know, when you're taking these journeys, then you can have experiences of psychic phenomena. But you know, you can have parapsychic experiences, or you can see aura, but it is not something that I am searching for. If they're coming spontaneously, then okay, then they are part of the journey. But I'm not trying, you know, to develop parapsychic skills or things like that. They are just, I think they actually can be a hindrance on your path if you're dwelling too much on them.
Yeah, somebody brought me to see a psychic one time, but yeah, I was curious to see your viewpoint. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, but there are some who have amazing psychic powers, and they are also part of cosmos. But I think that if you go to Patanjali Yoga Sutra, which is the oldest yoga sutra, then they say that if you want to, you know, go the whole way and really become a fully enlightened being, then you should not. Then psychic phenomena can be a hindrance on your way, because you can get fascinated on them, and they can, you know, they can consume a lot of attention.
Earlier on, I remember you were saying, like, are these psychedelic experiences, are they real or not? And then you mentioned the story about how it encouraged you to start the Magic Garden.
Yes.
One thing I love about DMT, or what I've heard about, is people across the country, across the world, with different backgrounds, different religions, without even interacting with one another, they report seeing the same, like, machine elves, if you know of those, or the same.
Oh, yeah.
Beings. I always found that funny. So it's like, this drug is in your brain. It's your perception, but it's funny that no matter where these people come from, they see the same things at times.
But I think Aldous Huxley, he came with the idea that the brain's function actually was to keep information out. So our consciousness is not overloaded with information. It's like a filter. It's filtering things away. So when you're taking these substances, then suddenly those filters are away. So you're more open, so you can see things from the real world, which you normally not can see. And Scroff is saying that they are functioning as a telescope. If you, for example, watch on solar sky with normal eyes, then you will not see so many stars. But when you see it with a telescope, then you see a lot more stars. And you will not say that these stars that you're seeing through the telescope, they are not real. So these tools, they are functioning as a telescope, or take away the filter on your brain. So for me, it is. I mean, that is one of the way where you can see if those experiences are real. Because if more people are telling about the same experience on different places on the planet, then it's. I find it quite interesting, actually.
I'd have to agree. Yeah. And remember how I said there's this guy who was on the Duncan Trussell podcast? I forgot his name.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Jason Liu. Jason Liu?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I just remembered that. But yeah, he said like the same thing in the podcast, like how he uses meditation or in his case, magic. He says magic quotation mm-hmm. marks. He uses that as a term to sort of break down like exactly what you said, the psyche, because everything's filtered. And that's when you get to the pure ego or the pure root of the individual.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of techniques and method that you can use, you know, to reprogram yourself. So your old negative patterns, they can be transformed to positive thought patterns. And I think it's really important, you know, to have a daily practice and really implement those new strategies into you, because you are the creator of your own life. And if you have a clear vision of what you really want to create, and that is one of the issues, many people, they don't know exactly what they want to create. But if you have a clear vision, then you can create beyond your wildest fantasy.
Sounds good. I think that's a good point to leave off on. Is there any final message that you want to tell the audience?
Yes, I would like to say that we have created, I hope this is okay to say this, we have created the magicgardentribe.com. We are the first, as far as we know, temple in cyberspace. And we really like to invite seekers, psychonauts around the planet to global meditations. When people are doing meditation together, we are creating a big morphogenetic field, and it has an enormous healing potential for those who are tuning into the field, people around us, and the planet. So I will highly suggest that you just check out our platform. There is a 7-day free trial. It is not expensive to join into the field, but we have monthly full moon concerts, full moon global meditations, and one monthly long ceremony where you can tune into the field. You can take a journey, you can take a long meditation, or whatever you can use it for.
Jacob Moth, thank you for coming out to the show.
Thank you for being here, Billy. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Glad to hear. Same here. And for the audience, this is FM 91.7, WHUS Tours at the top of the hour. And as always, deuces.
This has been The Way Podcast. If you want to know more about The Way Podcast, go to podcasttheway.com.